And we've got 2 hours of special open lines for you now, including the Fright Night hotline. Here's that phone number. Now, if you want to call in with your Fright Night story, you can call in on any line, but this one's reserved just for that, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Saturday, 2 p.m. in the St. Louis area, by the way. I'll be at the Left Bank Books, which is on 10th Street downtown. They have two locations. This is the downtown location for book signing, for Journey to the Light. Come on by if you're in the area. If you live in Illinois, St. Louis, Iowa, wherever you are in that greater area, just come on by. Starts at 2 o'clock. It's over at 4. It's a meet and greet. You want to get pictures and things like that, no problem. We'll do that too. My grandchild, Ariana, will be there. She's got a little speech prepared, and she wants to give one. So she's been writing it all day. And I told her, I says, don't read it, Ari. Memorize it. And now she's all nervous, but we'll see. She's 15. She was our first grandchild, and now we have a total of 5. It's amazing. We're also in most time zones other than Hawaii right now. We are now into the month of May. Can you believe that? That's how fast things move along. By the way, I heard a story today. This is one of those stories where you go, ah, I don't believe it. Guy tells me he went golfing with his friends, and he hit the ball. It was down the fairway. It was a par 3. Those of you who play golf, I don't play it a lot. I used to when I was younger. It was a par 3, so it was pretty close to the green. He didn't get it on the green, but pretty darn close. And he said as he was walking up to his ball, his other two buddies weren't right with him. He said a little 7-inch man comes running out of the woods. This is what he said. A little 7-inch man comes running out of the woods, grabs the golf ball, runs and drops it in the hole, and takes off. His friends think that he has a hole-in-one. He didn't have a hole-in-one. He told them the story, and they're laughing like crazy. And they kept saying, no, it's a hole-in-one. This is unbelievable. How can this be? And he said, no, it's not a hole-in-one. This little guy came running out of the woods, took the ball, and dropped it in the hole. And he's telling me this story today. And I'm saying, you know what? I listen, as I do, but I just don't believe it. I really don't. Maybe you do. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. Fright Night, Hotline Night on Coast to Coast AM, and that's 818-817-0021. Okay, I'm back, and let's get open line started right here on Coast to Coast AM. First time in, Mark, in Miami, Florida. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Tonight?
All is well. Thanks.
Well, I have a Fright Night story that actually falls into the last hour's topic. This is around 20 years ago. My father had died. It had been a couple of years, and every so often I would go to visit him at his grave at the cemetery, and I would park the car at the end of the row. He was, in the middle of the row of graves, and I'd park my car and go out to walk to his grave. On this one particular day, I got out of the car, and I started walking over the graves towards his grave. And on the second grave, the ground gave away from me, and the next thing I know, I was standing on top of the coffin.
Oh.
And I calmly crawled out of the grave, got up, did not look down or back, walked by my father's grave, said, I'll be right back, Dad. Went straight up to the office there. It took about 20 minutes for them to calm me down to figure out what I was saying. And then they went back out there, and what had happened was there was a water main break, and it had washed all the dirt away from underneath on top of the coffin.
Right.
Just the grass was there. It was the scariest moment of my life.
Can you imagine what would have happened if you couldn't have crawled out?
I'm a tall guy, so I was lucky. I was standing on top of this coffin.
That is amazing.
It was a freaky moment.
Thanks, Mark. Remember, great story.
Thank you.
Fright Night Hotline, 818-817-0021. Let's go to Dan in Quebec, Canada. You're up with us on the international line. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Hi, George. Thank you very much for that last couple hours. That was just great. Thank you to you and your guests.
I'm telling you, I learned things I never knew before, and horribly enough, we're all going to go through this. We're going to know people who pass on. It's good to know that.
Right. But the reason I called, I'm a complete believer that extraterrestrials are visiting and have visited us. And I think that SETI, the program SETI, is a non sequitur. I really, you know, but I was astounded to hear this week when, after that story of Stephen Hawking saying, you know, we may or we perhaps should not try and contact aliens for our own good. Is it Seth Sawchuk, the director of SETI?
Seth Shostak is one of the, is the spokesperson for SETI.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. And he sort of cavalierly or flippantly said, well, we've had radio for over 100 years and television for 60, so if there's anybody out there, they've heard those signals anyway. So there's no, you know, there's no danger in trying to make contact. And it kind of denigrated SETI, the whole program and the whole effort and everything people have donated and the hardware that's been designated to do this thing. It just seemed kind of, I don't know, it just seemed to see it be a flippant thing for him to have said.
You know, Dan, I'm beginning to think, too, think of this possibility. Tell me what you think, that SETI is not set up to receive signals, even though that's what they tell us. And I like Seth, by the way. He's a great guest. But it's not set up to receive signals. It's set up to broadcast signals of us out there, and maybe they want them to hear something. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that very well could be. But even then, I mean, if all of these signals have been going out for so long, I think anybody sophisticated enough to receive them and identify them would decide in their own time whether to contact or not contact us, just like in Carl Sagan's book, Contact.
Yeah.
Even though we heard a signal, we got in contact with them. They managed to get, you know, a representative of ours there. But we were told, you know, come back in a few thousand years when you're sort of, you know. So I was just quite shocked with that response. I mean, to when Stephen Hawking came out with something that, with that levity, to have a response like that. And I think of the program SETI, like even when he had all of those, when all of those computers, personal computers, were designated to help them listen and all that. I mean, the hundreds and thousands of people that have been involved with the program over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just to hear him say that. So.
All right, good comments. It. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Margot in San Diego, California. Hey, Margot, how are you?
Hello, George.
Hello.
Other than you tuck me to bed every night.
I do?
Yes, you do.
How do I do a good job doing that?
Oh, you do an excellent job. I wake up in the morning to another program.
Super.
And I'm the lady who had a travel to your town in the industrial area and picked up a little girl in the street and pushed her over to the other side of the street.
You saved her, didn't you?
Yes. And you said I was a natural something or other.
An angel.
Well, thank you. And once you said I was a nice lady who'd been through a lot. At any rate, the last program is near and dear to my heart at this moment.
How come?
Well, they're going 1 month to 1 year. So, I've opted for cremation, but I heard something, and I don't know if it was on Coast to Coast.
What'd you hear?
What I heard was, and I am a scientist, as well as a psychologist, but not practicing, obviously, but I heard that the spirit actually does not totally leave the body for a number of days. Was that on Coast to Coast?
We've had some people, Margot, who have talked about how long does it take the spirit to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some guests who say it's instant. There have been others that say that it could take a few days. I happen to think it's instant. I think when you die, it moves on. That cord that's with the astral body and the physical body is severed at death. And that's
on it.
It's that. So, but you've opted to be cremated. How come?
I'm not quite sure. that I can answer that. In time allowed, I think there are other people that are waiting that are very important to get on. And I believe that if the pirates of old and the Indians who threatened the American, new American people, let me phrase it that way, and then I think you know where I'm coming from, that they would kill their families so that they would not be taken. And set fire to the house. That's a pirate if there ever was one.
Well, you sit back and I'll tell you what we're going to do. You listen to the program and then we'll tuck you back into bed again for the next show. And thanks for the call, Marco. Nico is in LaGrange, Illinois. That's east of the Rockies. Hi, Nico.
Yes, it is. How are you doing, George?
All is well. Thanks.
Nice, man. I got a question here for you. Do you ever, that show Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, do you ever watch any of those episodes or anything?
I watched one when it was on.
When it was on.
That was the one with Alex Jones.
Yeah. Well, I think they aired about five or six of those episodes. And that one with Alex Jones, me and my buddy Tom, we totally enjoyed that show. I was wondering why they canceled all of a sudden. It's like, you know, like I say, they aired five or six episodes and they canceled it. I was wondering, like, you think they got way too close to some truth or something?
Well, you know what? They may have. I mean, the numbers weren't as great as they expected, but they were acceptable, you know, I think, to do some more shows.
Right.
Maybe they just want to, you know, reconfigure it and come back with something else. Or he stepped on some toes and somebody crushed him, you know?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know Jesse Ventura personally or anything,
no,
but that guy's, you know, he's Mr. Truth. He speaks his mind.
No matter what it is, he does it.
Yeah, and that's why that show was so awesome. I mean, he tried to get down to the truth no matter how, you know, how many, like they had a whole episode of Harp. You know, that was actually one of the first episodes, is the Harp episode.
That was with Nick Begich.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that was extreme. Oh, man.
Sounds like he's gotten the coast-to-coast topics and turned them into that TV show.
Right. Me and my buddy were talking about it, and I was like, you know, tell him, geez, man, this is almost exactly like Coast. They got the same exact people, or Jesse Ventura's, you know,
same thing.
Palling around
Absolutely.
With the same people, meeting Alex Jones up in, like, warehouses and stuff.
Hey, I love your name, Nick. Is that Greek, by the way, Nico?
Oh, Italian. My name is actually Nick, but everyone I know calls me Nico.
Nico.
So
how did that happen?
My mom's been calling me Nico ever since I was little.
I love it. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, George.
We go to Los Angeles. Bob's there. Hey, you keeping my city warm for me, Robert?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, it's nice and warm.
I'll be there in a couple weeks.
Excellent. Maybe you'll get to witness an earthquake you keep hiding from.
I know it. I keep dodging it.
That's really bizarre. Wow. And anyway, it's God. You know what? Who you really need to book on your show? Just send the guy an email. Would be Michael Moore. He'd be a fantastic interview. You have to watch his movie. It's on DVD now. It's called Capitalism: A Love Story. It is hilarious.
I've been looking for the right subject with him, and this one could be it. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not Democrat or Republican. It's right in the middle about people, greedy people raping our country and stealing our money.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I've been talking to Republicans and Democrats, and they love the movie both. You know, they go, it's great, because when the first one came out, they go, oh, he's a Democrat, and the Republicans will say, we want nothing to do with the guy, you know. But now when you see this movie, they go, well, he's you know, I'm biased on this issue here. It's just he's about people who are committing crimes against our country.
Bob, make sure you're listening Sunday night. We're talking about evil, which we'll touch on some of that. It's an incredible program, but we'll work on the Michael Moore thing. I think this is right down the middle, and that's what I've been waiting for from him.
Yeah. I'll send him an email, see if he responds, and have him try to contact you guys.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what I mainly called about is, I don't know, I see this country, other than the corporate criminals and the Wall Street raping us for every penny we've got, I've seen, I mean, the whole border issue about Arizona border, mm-hmm. I mean, they're being overrun by thousands of people from Mexico just run across the border now. I wouldn't have a problem. Number one, the educational system in Mexico, if it's so important to migrate millions of their citizens into our country, why the heck don't they teach English in any of their classes? They don't. All they do is teach them that we stole this country from them. So they're coming in here with a mindset of basically attacking us. You know, in their mindset, it's them against us in their mindset. They come across the border, and they act like it's their country, and they do whatever they want, and the whole country suffers for this greatly. Number one, as soon as the influx of illegal immigrants started coming in, we started to need things as police officers in our schools. We now have a police department for schools now because illegal immigrant children are carrying guns and weapons. Two, our libraries. We have library police now to protect us from the illegal immigrants. And the hospitals, all the hospitals. I went in and talked to a few people at local hospitals. And I said, why are you having financial problems? Each one told me illegal immigrants free medical care. And guess what? Obama is now making us pay for that now with his new plan because all the hospitals are broke. So now we got to be taxed to pay for illegals to have children.
And the fact that you have stressed the word illegal is so important. I don't want anybody to ever get the wrong idea that we as people are against helping other people first and foremost, and in favor of legal immigration, controlled legal immigration. You know, when Frosty Wooldridge comes on the program and gets these incredible responses, we're talking about illegal immigration against the law. We have laws in this country, and people need to abide by it, pure and simple. This has nothing to do with not wanting to help humanity by any means. Bob is absolutely correct. It's devastating, and it needs to be stopped. When you look at what happens in Eastern Europe, remember the old days, man, they had guards against their borders. It was checkpoints and everything else. We need to preserve the integrity of the United States and set the right amount of people that we want in for legal immigration. That's fine. And go through a committee to get them in. That's fine. Go through all the parameters that they need to go through. But the illegal immigration has got to be stopped and drastically curtailed immediately, or we are going to be overrun by people. A high percent of those illegals who come into the country, sadly enough, just want to have a better life. Well, we can help them in Mexico to do that. You know, that's what we should be doing. You know, I proposed, tongue-in-cheek, of picking Mexico up as our 51st state and taking care of that. But, that way you set the wages at a higher level too, by the way, which would help us here in this country. Think about it. That might work. But we've got to do that. Illegal immigration is devastating for this country. If anybody supports illegal immigration, call in. I'd like to find out why you support illegal immigration. All right. And I don't have time to take another call until the break, but I do want to tell you again about the book signing, which is Saturday at 2 p.m., not too far from now, in about 12 hours, as a matter of fact, a little less than that. Left Bank Books, downtown St. Louis branch. Get there at about 2 o'clock. It starts at 2, so start rolling in before that if you would. I don't know how many people are going to be down there. But it's also a meet and greet, and especially all you folks who used to listen to the local Nighthawk program with me, come on by and say hi, because it's been a very, very long time since that show was on, starting 13 years ago in St. Louis, and here we are now. And if you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Callers from Casper, Wyoming, Columbus, Ohio, Jersey City, Tacoma, Washington, Salt Lake City, and the rest of North America and the world, you're all next. Time for our traditional shout-out, by the way, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 544 now, growing by leaps and bounds. Thank you. Streamlink members, thank you for everything you do and the support you give us here at Coast to Coast AM, XM Satellite, Channel 165. and then the various chat rooms and groups. Hello, NighthawkZone.com, folks, headed up by Bad Boy. Good to have you with us. Imaginative Worlds Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Hello to you folks. And Greg the Cook out there in St. Louis somewhere. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and of course it's Fright Night, and that number is 818-817-0021, and that's where George is from Jersey City, New Jersey. Hey, George, what happened to you?
Well, it's funny. I went to Puerto Rico to visit all my family, and they're very poor there because there was a landslide where we used to live. What happened was we were looking for my grandmother's grave, and we couldn't find it. So, you know, being like it's a small burial place, I went to, the bushes to, go to the bathroom,
yeah, you got to do it. When nature calls, you got to do it.
Yeah, and I could have sworn I heard a voice say, it's in Spanish, it said, no me pises, hijo mío, don't step on me, my son. I freaked out. Walked out of there kind of quick, and, my uncle couldn't find the grave, and then we found out that we found her bones where I was urinating.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
And we found out that they emptied out her grave because they couldn't afford it. And then they we buried her properly.
That's the only way to do it.
Wow. It was scary because I heard her voice say, don't step on me. That's where we found her bones.
She probably said a few other things to you, too, but we can't repeat
yeah,
that.
Probably.
Thanks, George. Frightline, 818-817-0021. Casper, Wyoming. Hello, Jamie. It's your turn.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you about this spirit that I see every once in a while, and I call her Shadow Cat.
All right, a shadow cat. Okay, is it yours? One of your cats that passed on?
No, I have never, ever had a cat before in my life.
All right, tell us
what's
going on.
But every once in a while, I'll see her. She'll just walk by the corner, out of the corner of my eye. I'll see her walk by. That's all she does. I've tried to talk to her. I can't. She doesn't say anything. All I've found out is that she's female, and she's this huge black. She looks like a house cat, like a Siamese kind of house cat, but she's like the size of a 30-pound dog.
That's a big cat. You don't see indentations with her walking on your bed or anything? This is just a shadow against the wall?
No, it's not even a shadow. It's just like it's a normal cat walking by, and then I'll look, and there's nothing there.
Oh, so it looks physical to you?
Yeah.
That's weird. How long has this been going on?
It's happened 3 times over about 15 years.
And is it like really quick?
Yeah.
And then gone.
And I thought it was something about the house we lived in, but then we moved and it happened again. And
so the cat's
no idea.
The cat's following you for some reason. You know, it's possible, Jamie, that in a past life you owned that cat and it's still connected to your spirit. That's very possible. Let's go to Salt Lake City in Utah. First-time caller, it's Adam on Coast to Coast. Hi, Adam.
Hey, George. It's great to talk to you. I had a question, actually, about the last hour, the burials and stuff. My dream or my plan for myself, or what I would want anyway, and I don't know, my main question is about the laws, because when I die, I want my best buddy, maybe my wife, to take me out in the desert and wrap me up and burn me, just leave me out there. And from what I understand, that's totally illegal. You have to buy permits and go through this organization and that. It just seems wrong that you would have to go through so much red tape to get yourself, buried or cremated or however you want to do it.
You have to. Well, first of all, Adam, if she took you out into the desert, wrapped you up and burned you, she could probably get charged with murder unless somebody was able to witness indeed the fact that you had died.
Yeah, that's a good point. I understand that. Okay, so I'll give the state a death certificate. But after that, I don't think the state or the county or the city should have any other kind of, you know, requirements or fees. It seems like that it's so loaded with fees.
That it's all about money.
Yeah, it is.
There should be. Well, what about this? Would you be willing to die this way? And if, let's say, in the desert, so that you don't have bodies dumped all over the place, there's a location out there. If you want to just go there and get cremated and, you know, have a little marshmallow fire, you could do that. But it would be in a certain location.
Yeah, totally. As long as that location isn't charging, you know, $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. For me, it's you got these families, and you don't want a grieving family to have to pay thousands of dollars to bury their loved one. You know, it should be, you know, I understand there's insurance and everything, but I don't know. It seems like there's a huge burden placed on vulnerable people.
No, you're right. I mean, it's bad enough they've lost you, and then they probably don't have the wherewithal to pay for it. So they're getting it on that end too. It's too much.
Yeah. And actually, I think one of my great heroes, Edward Abbey, the author, I think he was, from what I read, I think he was taken out into the desert, burned by one of his friends.
Yeah, you got to be careful, though, with that. They'll think they killed the guy. Got to be careful. Thanks, Adam. Next up, we'll go to Columbus, Ohio. It's Chris's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, George. I want to share a short tidbit there to go along with this program tonight before sure. I didn't know what I want to call about. First time I heard about a spirit talking to someone was the late, great Arthur Godfrey. And the story goes that he was on a PT boat in World War II and went to go to sleep there or something, because they're out in the ocean, whatever, in the middle of the afternoon. And he had a dream that his father had passed away and said, "Well, son, I got to go," you know, and he got to hug his dad. Then a few minutes, they broke radio silence and broadcast to Arthur Godfrey on that ship that his father had passed away.
Oh, my.
So he had direct contact, if you might remember who Arthur Godfrey was.
I remember. He was one of the great greats of all time. Started
that's
off
the story
in radio.
You can check it out. It's a great story.
That is a story.
What I was calling about tonight was exciting news. I remember I've been following since Whitney Strieberg brought it up about the NASA program, not NASA, but everybody discussed it. This guy a couple nights ago about
Stephen Hawking.
Not him. The other guy who was talking about how terrible Obama and the space program was being cut and all
that. Bob Zubrin?
Yeah, I believe so. As I've been following what Whitney Strieber talked about was the XB-40 and XB-37, which was launched here a week ago. It's going to be up there for 270 days. It's a robotic shuttle. It's a mini shuttle.
And we don't know really what it's up there for, do we?
Yeah, but they did say that in the next models, they want to build a fleet of them, and that the next models could be 2 to 3 men in it and a small
payload.
Payload, right. So yeah. That's exciting news. And I've been following the Chinese on their space program over the past couple of years. They are building. And that's maybe why we have went on to this new program with the new rocket engine that's going to be magnetic field and shoot out protons out the back. The Chinese have been working on that for a couple of years and made strides. That might be one of the reasons why we're going into this new engine, because if the Chinese are building it, then we got to build one too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we got a major space show coming up, Chris, with Zubrin and Hoagland and a few other people. Within
but the
a week
Air Force
or two.
Is tight-lipped about it, and
if you follow what you can on,
it looks exciting. Looks like there'll be all mini fleet of shuttles, which, there you go, you know, there's some good news out there.
They kept this whole thing quiet. I mean, I didn't even know about it until it had gone up. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing. Okay, thank you.
All right, Chris, you got it. Pedro's in Houston. That's where most of the ZZ Top folks are. Hello, Pedro, go ahead.
Yes, George, the first-time caller. I just wanted to say that you had a caller a few calls ago talking about illegal immigrants.
Yes.
And myself and my friend Rob, we're both minorities ourselves. And I just wanted to say that he was talking about, you know, having police forces inside the school because of illegal immigrants making it worse. It's not even so much that. I have to say that it is because the system or society's been more corrupted and it's just become more violent. It's not because of illegal immigrants. I understand where he'd be coming from, but it's not because of illegal immigrants. It's just, you know, personally, I think the world's just, you know, going down. People just don't know how to react, so they're becoming more hostile. And that's
people are more hostile. Now, the numbers they say about 7% of the illegals have committed prior crimes. So that's possible.
And he was talking about, like, trying to help Mexicans in Mexico. I can understand that part, too. I mean, we are sending business down there. But if you're only going to pay them, you know, below minimum wage, how are you really helping them? I can understand that, you know, they're coming over here. They want to do better for themselves. But if we don't give them the opportunity to do better for themselves, I mean, we're supposed to be the land of the free.
Well, it's don't like forget, though, our minimum wage is more than they're making in Mexico right now.
I know, but you're not offering a minimum wage in Mexico. You're offering below minimum wage.
I'm saying that they need to be making the same kind of wages that people make in the United States.
And so if they would grant that, I can understand, you know, that would be helping them more. But since we can't come to terms to where we can negotiate with them and offer them what they might deserve, then you know, you're not really helping them. And therefore, they're going to seek other opportunities and they're going to cross the border and they're going to come here to where, you know, the United States has always been a real poverty country, except for lately. And they're going to try to do better for themselves over here. You know?
Absolutely. You've got to give them the ability to want to stay. And that means better education, more money, better opportunity. If you can't do those three things, the illegals are going to continue coming across the border. You know, I feel sorry for them. I mean, they want a better life. They you know, most of them send the money back to their families in Mexico. So they're trying. But my whole point, Pedro, is we have got to get to a point where as a nation, we control this. We can't have another country or groups of people flooding into this country without any control. That's why we have legal immigration. It may not be the best system, but it's far better than just illegals flooding the place. And that's what we have to stop and control. And if that means putting troops up along the border and getting people and sending them back, do that. But I mean, those three areas you really need to do in Mexico. You got to increase the education. You got to increase the money there and opportunity. You have to do that or you're not going to stop it at all, no matter what you do. Let's go to Eddie. He's in Chicago. First time caller.
I agree with what you say about the immigrants in this country. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law, he's Republican. He said the law should change. I disagree. I agree what you said. Maybe we should make Mexico a
51st
one state. Yep. Because you know what? Their government says they tell their people to come here because of the land of opportunity for free education, medical, and everything else. It's getting crowded in the United States. There's no jobs. To my opinion, our government is selling out the American middle-class people.
Sure. I mean, if I were in Mexico, Eddie, I'd want to sneak into the United States. Wouldn't you?
Well, it's cheap. That's why a lot of Americans go over there because it's cheap.
Yeah.
Very cheap to go out there and have a good time.
Absolutely.
I was born here. I'm lucky to, you know, and I don't speak Spanish that much, but I'll tell you one thing. I agree with what you say. If we're going to help these people, we might as well help them and make them part of our United States, because eventually it's going to happen anyways. And just like the caller said before, three calls, let's face it. All of California and Texas was all Mexico at one time.
That's right. I would have no problem of Mexico being a 51st state. And, you know, we go in there and we bring it up to snuff and we make it a solid part of the United States. And, you know, and then we chase out the drug runners. And I also think, though, we should legalize drugs because that cuts right to the chase.
It's a billion-dollar business. And absolutely. Why not? Let's try it. Like Illinois, they want to try it for 3 years. Might as well try it. Maybe yep. get it out of the red tape and try it out. There's a certain thing about marijuana. If you legalize it, all the people on the drugs, if you sell it on the store with cigarettes, they're gonna put wicked on there, that PCP, and that's what it could be dangerous, because you may buy the marijuana out of the store legally, but the drug dealers would get everybody else high, and it could kill people.
Well, but keep in mind, though, people who are doing drugs now are getting them. They're getting them illegally, and they're going to continue to get drugs. I don't think you're going to have a lot of people use drugs if it's legal. I really don't.
But why is it that they always going after the cigarette tax? What happens when nobody smokes cigarettes at all? And like my boss told me at work, he goes, you know what? You know how many people in other countries buy American cigarettes? That won't help. That won't hurt the American tobacco country. They're making money. They like American cigarettes.
So well, you know what? The next thing they'll have will be a water tax. Or something.
Can I ask you for a prayer?
Absolutely. Why? What's wrong?
For my ex-girlfriend. Her name is...
What's her first name?
Connie.
What's wrong with her, Eddie?
She's refused to be on dialysis, but she surprised the doctors, and she's going like 5 years. But she caught a virus right now, and they refuse her to give her antibiotics.
Yeah, okay. She's on the prayer list.
And I like, if you can do me a favor, to pray for her.
Absolutely.
But I agree with what you say. And my grandfather always just told my mother, and when they came to this country, they didn't have money to sleep at a hotel. They used to sleep in cemeteries, okay?
Oh, my God.
Yes. And my grandfather always used to tell his kids, the dead can never hurt you. Only the living can.
That's so true.
So I hope people keep that in mind. But,
all right, Eddie. Thanks. I love Chicago, my friend. Be well.
Take care.
And we'll put her on the prayer list every Friday. What the prayer list is, by the way, those of you who are brand new to the show, you can either send me an email. This Casey called. That doesn't happen a lot. Send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com. Just in the subtitle there, just put prayer list. Just give me the person's name and what's wrong. And this is done in a very strange, unscientific way, okay? I accumulate them all. We don't publish it. We don't put it on the website. And regular listeners just take a little bit of time every Friday, 2 minutes, and they concentrate on well-being and sending that power of light to people. And I'm telling you, we get a lot of intriguing response. You know, maybe the odds simply say, if you pray for 1 million people, you're bound to get some people that are well. But I'm telling you, some of the responses I get back are absolutely astounding. This hour is gone. Another hour to boot. We're going to give away some books next hour as well. There'll be a few surprise questions. It's Fright Night Hotline Night, 818-817-0021. That's the very special number. And we'll be back in a second, so don't touch your dial.